Hello, everyone. Welcome to this month's call, specifically to help the bingers out there. We are going to be talking about how you can assess to progress today. I'm super excited to be here with you today. For those who don't know me, I am guest coach Jane Pilger. I am a guest coach around here in No BS, and I am specifically, my passion is all things related to binge eating. And this is because I used to identify as a binger probably for a good 25 years. And I spent a lot of time. I went through all kinds of therapies and treatments and you name it. And I was resilient. I kept working at it. And now I feel like I have finally figured this thing out. And it is now my passion to help other people do the same. What we're going to talk today about today is the power of assessing your progress. What does that mean specifically for those people who are potentially binging, and what obstacles we might encounter and how you might be able to look at things in a different way? So I want to say a couple of things first before we get started. You might be wondering, I don't really identify as a binger. Is this call for me? The answer is yes. You will absolutely hear something in this call that will apply to you if you are working on your relationship with food. No matter what your relationship with food is, no matter how you identify yourself, this call will be helpful if you just put your mind to work on how can I get amazing value for myself out of this call. You might be wondering, what is a binge? I don't even know what a binge is. I will tell you the way that I think about it. A binge is eating a large amount of food in a short period of time, often in quantities, sometimes even in combinations that are different than one might usually eat. There is often a lot of shame behind it. And also this feeling that you can't stop, maybe that you're out of control or that you are unable to stop. But the definition doesn't really matter. How you look at yourself doesn't really matter. But what does matter is what you're going to get out of this call today, which is, how do we look at assessing? How do I assess in a way that is really powerful for me? This is also going to be an open coaching call. This call is available if you have any specific questions regarding binging, the topic of binging. I want you to either raise your hand to request to be coached, or you can type anything into the Q&A and I will answer you there. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about assessing and what we can really look at there, how we can really watch and monitor our progress through assessing and doing it in a way that's really helpful for us. So I'm going to talk for just a few minutes. And then in the meantime, if you want coaching, raise your hand. And you have any specific questions, go ahead and put them in the Q&A. Okay, so let's talk about assessing. Here's the trap that I find most people who are working through binging. What I find most people do is they say, okay, I'm going to assess whether I am succeeding or not in whether or not I binged. I'm just going to look. Did I binge or did I not? Pass, fail, success, fail. Do you see how black and white that is? I've either binged or I haven't. And those are my only metrics of success. So I either did or I didn't, pass or fail, very black or white. Now, this makes sense, especially because black and white thinking, all or nothing thinking, is a very common thinking pattern for people who binge. So this is what we want to do, is we want to see, if you are thinking to yourself, ooh, that's me, I kind of know I have some all or nothing thinking patterns. I know I can kind of go black and white. If this might show up for you, if you are, let's say you decide to eat a cookie and then you're like, oh, well, I've already screwed up. I might as well eat a bunch, right? You see the black and white thinking there. Now, if you can recognize this is a pattern of thinking that I do, then you can say, okay, I know I need to change my all or nothing, black or white pattern of thinking in order to get past this binging. But this isn't going to happen overnight. But here is a place I can work on my pattern of black and white, all or nothing thinking. I can work on it in looking at my progress. So what I invite you to do is, rather than looking at your progress as I either binged or I didn't, what I invite you to do is say, okay, if I did binge, then where can I find the progress within the binge? Now, you all have this month, you have the new assessment worksheet that you are all working on. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to tell you a couple of things. We're not going through that worksheet together, but I'm going to tell you a couple of things that you can do for yourself as you really go through assessing. Now, one of them is this. You have the Discovery Worksheet. The Discovery Worksheet is an amazing tool that you can use anytime you have an overeat, anytime you have a binge. I want to offer you two things. Number one, in case you did not know, there is another worksheet that is an alternative to the Discovery Worksheet. It is not better. It is not worse. It is just another option for you. This worksheet is contained inside the Trusting Your Body course, which I created. And this worksheet is called How to Nurture Yourself After an Overeat. And so this worksheet, if you are here attending live, we'll put a link for you in the chat. If you are listening on replay, it will be in the show notes. But How to Nurture Yourself After an Overeat is, it's essentially an alternative to the Discovery Worksheet. What this does is it helps you kind of try to make sense. How does it make sense that I ate this food? What did I really need? We get curious about what might I have needed? What can I learn from this? How was it different? Where can I find the progress? This worksheet actually asks you to find the progress. This is one of the reasons that I really love this worksheet, is because we're not just looking at what we did, we're really looking at, what do I notice? Was there progress? If you ask your brain to find the progress, it will find it. The brain will always go to work to find the answer to any question we put it to work on. So I love to ask the question, how was this different? Where was their progress? So here are some areas where you might find progress. If you don't look at just black or white, did I binge, did I not binge? We're going to open up to other potential areas of progress. So here are some potential areas of progress for you. Maybe you became more aware of your thinking. So maybe in the past, your binges looked like you weren't even aware of anything. It was kind of like a blackout moment. You didn't even know until like afterwards. Maybe you were just surrounded. This was me after my very first binge. I was just surrounded by wrappers, candy wrappers all over. I did not know what had happened. I just had no idea. It was basically a pure blackout moment. So if that is where you started, then maybe in your progress, you actually have more awareness while you are eating. Maybe you are actually even able to identify the sentences that are going through your mind while you are eating. Maybe you start to recognize the sensations in your body that you start to feel before you get up to go to the kitchen or to go get in your car, to go to the drive-thru, whatever that is. Maybe you can start to recognize those sensations. The more awareness you can create for yourself, the more you have the potential to change. So you cannot change anything you're not aware of. When we look at just black and white, I did or I didn't, what we're not doing is we're not opening our minds to awareness. What am I more aware of? Maybe you actually even asked yourself a question, like while you were eating, maybe you asked yourself, can I just stop after one more? Can I just leave a little bit left in the box? I used to have to think once I started, I had to eat the whole box. So can I just leave a little bit behind? Maybe I noticed I actually asked that question, or maybe I asked the question, what do I really need right now? But I didn't actually stop to answer the question. That's amazing progress because I asked the question. Did I answer? No. Guess what? It gives me something to do next time. Then the next time, here's what I want to try differently. The next time, and in your assessment worksheet, there is a question in there for you. What do I want to try next time? So if we can find the progress, look for the progress, find the progress, and then get really curious, what can I do next time? Be open, be curious. Now, openness and curiosity are what you really need in your mind so that you can find these answers, so that you can become aware. If you are in shame, if you are in judgment, you're basically closing yourself off. What we really want to do is kind of look under the hood and figure out what's going on underneath it all so we can see what's going on. Shame and judgment will put that weight on the hood so you can't really look underneath. Now, let's say you do have a time where you don't binge. Then what I want you to do there is get really curious, what did I do? What was different to create the result of not binging, to create the result of not eating that thing that I usually eat? If you were able to change your pattern, whether it was a binge, whether it's an overeat, if you're trying to change your pattern of eating after dinner, whatever it is, when you have that time, when you don't do the thing, then we also want to get really curious. The Successful Urge Worksheet is a great resource for this, where you can really figure out, what did I think to myself? What was going on in my head, in my body? What was going on that created this result? Rather than just, oh yeah, good for me. I didn't eat after dinner. Yay. It is great, but let's get underneath and figure out, how did I create that for myself so that I can repeat it next time? Then you can ask, okay, now that I know I did that, do I want to repeat it? Or is there something I could try that could be even better next time? It's all about awareness, openness, and curiosity. So really watch for that black and white, all or nothing thinking. That's the kind of thinking that will get you, kind of trap you. Shame, judgment, it'll kind of keep you in the cycle. So get really open, really curious, where am I making progress? Progress shows up in so many other areas than just whether you binged or overate or not, then whatever number the scale is, whether you followed your plan or not. There are so many other areas and other ways to look at progress. Okay, so that's what I have to share with you today. If you want any coaching, go ahead and raise your hand. I'm going to answer this question from the Q&A first, and then we are going to, let's see, who are we going to call on? We're going to call on Kate. All right. So Renee says, I find I have binge behavior in the evening when I'm staying in my RV. What tools can I use to interrupt this pattern? So what I would do, Renee, is I would get really curious about what's different. What's different when you're in your RV than when you are not in the RV. So for example, what might you be thinking that's different? What might be different for you in terms of like what emotions you might be experiencing, what thought patterns, what is different for you when you're in the RV than when you're not? So that's what I would do first, is get really curious about that. And then based on whatever that answer is, then I would get really curious. That's going to give you a place to start. Also, for anybody who has not, who's on this call, who has already been through the No BS weight loss program, the initial program, I encourage you to check out the Trusting Your Body course that is the self-study course that is available for you online. It is an incredible course, particularly if binging is something that you struggle with. The Trusting Your Body course is a great resource for you there as well. All right, Kate, we are bringing you on, promoting you to panelist. All right, any other questions? Put them in the Q&A.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing all right. I love it when I raise my hand. I can't believe this is happening. I was just listening to you on a podcast this morning.
Oh,
so
yay.
Nice
good
to meet you.
Yes, you too.
So I have had a collision course of a couple of events this summer. I was fortunate enough to be on Mounjaro for the last year. And I don't know if anyone's talked about this, but it really helped stop a lot of the chatter in my brain around food after being a binger for a long time. That ended in July, so I no longer have access to it. And I was laid off from my job. Right around the same time. And I have been struggling. So my binging has been really out of control. I have been, and I've been working straight for many, many decades. So this is the first time I haven't had a job since I was 15, and I'm 50. So my binging has come back with force. I know I have a lot of feelings I'm not dealing with, and I don't know where to start, mostly mm-hmm. because I felt like I had things under control with the Monjaro, and
So this makes a lot of sense, a lot of sense. So we have, on the one hand, we have the Monjaro, and it probably did. I have heard from a lot of people in terms of the reduced chatter. I totally believe that.
Yeah.
And so then we also have this, like, okay, I had things under control then. And we kind of give like all the credit to the Monjaro.
Yeah.
And then the Monjaro goes away. So then we kind of, then there goes all the credit. There goes the control, because mm-hmm. the Monjaro is gone. And then we add on top of it the situation with the job, which of course is going to bring up a lot for your nervous system, yeah. for a lot of other reasons. So you're absolutely right. We kind of have both of these events that would really bring up a lot for you. And since we gave all the credit to the Monjaro in the first place, then the Monjaro goes away, and then we have this other event. Now it's like, it makes sense to me that you would think, I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
Because now we really, you know, we've kind of like lost our control, essentially, yeah, because the Monjaro was that.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. And before the Monjaro, I always felt like I was white knuckling it. I've been through therapy. I've done so much to try to, I feel like I've done so much work and invested so much time in why I binge, what's happening to me physiologically. And I always felt my hunger and my satiety was a bit broken. You know, I wouldn't have those fullness signals that people yeah. said would come. Being uncomfortably full and feeling sick was something I knew. But with the Monjaro was the first time I felt like, oh my God, is this what normal people feel like when they eat a half a plate of food and they're like, I'm good, and you can push it away. I never had that before. And at least that I can recall as an adult, I should say. And that's, I don't have that anymore.
But here's what I want to offer you. It was not 100% the Monjaro.
Right.
The Monjaro did give you access to yes. certain things that you may not have experienced recently, mm-hmm. but tell me this, what else was going on for you while you were on the Monjaro? Tell me what else was going on for you in terms of, like, even when you say like, oh, is this what normal people feel like? It sounds like you might have actually been a little more curious and interested to tune in to more of what was happening for you physically. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. I felt like I didn't have any of the subtleties or any of like the nuance of hunger and fullness prior to that. So yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. I was fascinated by everything I was feeling in my body yes. because
okay.
I hadn't felt it before.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think nuance is the right word, because I used to always feel like ravenous and then sick, or I'd never felt like what, so yeah, it felt like a very new experience, and definitely yeah. a lot of curiosity.
Yes. It. Yes. Okay. And so then tell me, once the Monjaro, which happened first, Monjaro job?
Right around the exact same time. The same
okay.
week.
Okay.
Of course,
yeah.
the
okay.
same
of
week.
Course.
Happened.
Of yes. course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then tell me what was different. So before we were on the Monjaro, it's like, wow, I'm fascinated. I'm curious. I really want to tune in to what's going on with my body. I can really feel this nuance. Then we lose the Monjaro and we lose the job.
Yes.
Then yeah. what's the experience with being with your body, or just the overall experience?
Yeah. And I would definitely say, so earlier when I started on the Monjaro, I definitely had, I grieved food. I was going through this process of, I don't have this anymore. This thing that I could use to dull my feelings. And I felt a lot the first, mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, the majority of the time of Monjaro was a different experience, because I was going through so much not having food there to tamp things mm-hmm. down anymore. And so mm-hmm. I found more ways to deal with it. Sorry, that was a bit of an aside to the question, but it felt like I knew so many emotions were going to come up being out of work, and I wasn't even sure how to start processing them or dealing with them. So in order to not do that, I literally the day, like it must have been 3 days after Monjaro, and I stopped like having that dullness, and the I started all my, a lot of my old behaviors came back. I'm trying not to use alls and absolutes, but I was spending so much time in my head planning my binges. I was thinking, okay, I'm going to be alone for this number of hours on the weekend. So I'm going to go to this store and get this food and eat that. And maybe, you know, it, and it was, it's just, I replaced all of the time that I, it became everything in my brain. So I didn't have to think about work, lack of work, what I'm going to do next, what it's going to be like not to have insurance. It's like all the things that came up. Yes. I completely replaced it with the thoughts about food and then the binging.
So here's what I think is fascinating to see for all of us. I think a lot of us, when we have, like when the binging comes, we can get really fixated on this is bad, this is wrong, this is a problem. But what I mean, as I hear you talking, what I hear is all of the reasons that this behavior is actually serving you, intending to serve you.
Yes.
So there's a difference between behavior and intention. Mm-hmm. So the intention that's happening behind the food, and I mean, you said the words, I replaced all of this. I started thinking about the food. I started thinking about the and doing the binging so that I wouldn't have to think about the job. I wouldn't have to think about being out of work. I wouldn't have to deal with the emotions. All of the emotions felt too big. I didn't know where to start. I'm definitely doing this so I don't have to feel like this is all, this is the purpose that the binging is serving.
Yeah.
It makes so much sense.
Yeah. It, and you know, I had, and then I had something good happen. I had somebody, a former coworker of mine asked me to do a consulting engagement for them, which is amazing. And I was working on it one day and then I spent the entire next day. I had all these things I should have been doing for this consulting engagement, but I went into the binge cycle again. And I think because newness, something good, something I've never done before. Mm-hmm. And then I just wanted to cover it all up again with food. Yes. And all this being said is, I don't know what to do now. And that's what I am. Ironically, I'm fasting today because I have a colonoscopy tomorrow. And so I'm coming in real, just like lightheaded in this right now. I'm glad that it's recorded in perpetuity that I'm having a colonoscopy tomorrow. That's great. But I don't know what to do next. I know that the desire for food is going to be back. Tomorrow when I can eat again. And I'm not sure what my next steps are.
What, tell me this, what is the problem with the desire for food?
I am worried. I know these emotions are in my body. I know they're here. And I know that I probably need to get them out at some point and understand what's going on with me. I want that for myself.
Yeah.
I think I'm scared of what they are, 'cause I think there's a multitude of emotions that I'm feeling right now. And I know my cycles and I know that I could do the food binging thing for a while before I actually settle in and I'm ready to start processing my feelings. And I think I want to get there faster this time, 'cause I want to move forward.
And you are ready because you raised your hand, which is incredible. But here's what I want to offer you. While you were on the Manjaro, you were feeling your emotions. You were open to feeling your emotions.
Yeah.
Now, the desire may have been different. I think your biggest, your most painful thought right now, and definitely let me know if this doesn't hit the mark, but it seems to me that your most painful thought is that the desire that is going to be there, that is going to come back, is like that it's a problem. It prevents you from doing all of these other things that you were able to do while you were on the Manjaro.
You nailed it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Here's the way that I see it. The Manjaro actually gave you proof that you can do it. Mm-hmm. You can be with these emotions. You just said, I don't know. I don't like in the same sentence, there is a part of you that is really afraid of these emotions. There's a part of you that's afraid of whatever's going to happen, but there's also a part of you that knows I'm ready. I want to do this. I actually want to do this faster than I've done this before.
Yeah.
And what I want you to see is with the Manjaro, you did it. You were emotional the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't kill you. Now, there, you didn't have the desire. It's like there's this idea that if the desire is with, is along the ride, then I'm not going to be like strong enough to be able to be with the desire and the emotions at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. All of this.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, never having gone through a job loss before, and I'm the breadwinner for the family, and the family being me, my husband, and my cat, but the cat needs a lot. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. That's, you know,
I'm with you. I'm a cat mom.
There's a lot of uncertainty right now. I know that I'm a resilient person. I know that I will figure this out and I will be okay, but I think I get ahead of the emotions in a way and think, I've never done this before. I've never dealt with a job loss. I don't know what's coming. And I'm going to bury that uncertainty. And I think that's been part of it, is I can handle these emotions. I know I can. I think because it was such an event, I decided that I can't, that I.
Yes. So what we can see, so several things, a job loss is a big deal, and it is a very, it can be very powerful on our nervous system. So we need to acknowledge, like, yes, a job loss is very, it is very threatening to our nervous system, mm-hmm. particularly in the scenario where you are the breadwinner. Now, we know there's a really a lot of options. There are a lot of things that can be done. Absolutely. Yeah. But it is very much, it does feel very threatening. So we need to honor and be very sensitive and tender to that part of you. But what we want to do, and so there is this need, right? There's this need for, you're not going to have certainty right now because you don't have it, but there is this need to know kind of everything's going to be okay. You are resilient. You are going to make it through this, which we know you are because you've made it through 50 years already. Mm-hmm. But really understanding what you need, you know, you need, you have a lot of emotions that need to be processed. But what we want to do is do it in a way that feels doable. So we're not kind of like overwhelming the nervous system. Also, the Trusting Your Body course has some great information in there about the nervous system, about dealing with emotions. There are some audio recordings you can listen to. I think it would be a great place for you. Okay. But what I want to offer you is that you have already been dealing with your emotions. You have, and part of the key, what you learned with the Manjaro, you can be with your emotions. Mm-hmm. You absolutely can. You can tune in with openness and curiosity. These emotions, the openness and curiosity of what's going on, what's happening, are they're everything.
Yeah.
The other thing is for you, this the desire piece, like this desire that's come back, that's different when you're off the Manjaro than when you're on it. You are seeing it as a threat. Mm-hmm. The way you said, like, I'm afraid when the colonoscopy is over, like, this desire is going to come back.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be able to handle it. We're all human. Like, desire is a human emotion, but you have made this desire like this big, huge, scary monster. I can't deal with it. I can't handle it. I'm just kind of like made this decision that I can't. So what I want to offer you is that you can, absolutely can. Manjaro did not take that away from you. Even like Manjaro gave you a glimpse of what is possible. And I want to tell you, as somebody who has worked with a lot of people who have binged for a long time without Manjaro, you can do this. You have had a glimpse, but it's not only available to you through a drug. You absolutely can do this. It's through openness. It's through curiosity. It's through, when that desire comes, opening up to it as an opportunity. Okay, this is my chance to do something different. This is my chance to be resilient in the face of this, to open up to my emotions, to see what's here for me, instead of, oh my God, I can't do it. I can't do it. And then the desire all of a sudden has all of the power. The food has all of the power. The emotions have all of the power. And then we're just in a hump on the floor.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
I've been a hump.
Yes.
and you know, full transparency, I feel like my nervous system has calmed down since I left work. I was in a very high stress role. I was anxious a lot of the time about work, and I don't have a boss for the first time in 35 years. And it kind of feels amazing. And so I think there's also that there is. I feel like I'm in a spot where I can do this work, which feels really good, because I do feel like my nervous system is in an okay place right now, where I can, I don't want to say push it a little bit, but I feel like I can, it feels like it's at a place where I can understand kind of the ups and downs of it, because it's not just here all the time.
Exactly. So here's what you're going to want to find through this process is you're going to want to find your growth edge. This is your edge where you are doing things that feel a little uncomfortable to you, but not so uncomfortable that you're going to shut down.
Okay.
So we don't want to go back to our old behavior. Our old behavior is like it's our familiar zone. I don't even want to call it the comfort zone, because there's nothing about it that's comfortable, but it's what's familiar to us. It's kind of like the old routine, just our habits, right? Then there's this place where, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, like feeling all the feelings and all the things, like that feels like so overwhelming. You are going to shut down.
Yeah.
What we want to do is find this place right in the middle that I call your growth edge, which is, it is uncomfortable, but it's this like, all right, I'm going to lean into this. This is where I grow. This is where I get stronger. This is where I do things differently. This is where I take what I've learned. I go in with openness and curiosity. And that growth edge is where all of the magic happens. Okay. But we have to be careful. Yeah. We don't expect too much of ourselves, or we don't just go back to the hump on the floor, redoing what we've just done over and over again.
That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got this. You have.
You're awesome.
You have this. Yeah. Well, thank you, Kate. Thank you for raising your hand. I know this will be so helpful for so many people listening. So thank you. Whew.
All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to put her back. Okay. Hannah says, I notice I binge less when I'm on vacation. I know this is probably because the change of pace, relaxation, etc. Do you have any suggestions on how to repeat this kind of feeling in real life? I love this awareness. So here's what's really interesting about vacations, or even different times. Some people actually binge more when they're on vacation, and other people binge less. Some people binge more during the week, other people binge more during the weekend. So it's really good to just get curious about, when are my binge behaviors more prominent? When do I notice them? And even more importantly, when do I notice I actually binge less, or I feel pretty good and pretty calm and relaxed around food? When you can notice those times where, you know, food feels kind of easy, what's different then? So Hannah has nailed it, where she says it's probably because, like, I'm relaxed. Maybe there's not as much stress going on, whatever it is. For me, I rarely, if ever, binge on vacation. Now, returning home, that used to be a really big pattern for me. But then I could look and see, well, what is it? I wasn't always thinking about all the things I had to do. I was feeling very calm, very connected, very relaxed. So what you can do is you can literally imagine the last time you were in that like calm, connected, relaxed place. Bring yourself back to that moment, that feeling in your body. You can do that before you eat, and bring those emotions with you to your eating experiences, or just take time. Go back to that, a visual of when you felt these feelings that you know, when they exist, food feels easier. It's a great hack you can do. All right, Michelle, I am bringing you on to coach. All right, Michelle's coming on. Here she is. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm super nervous. Oh, wow. I kind of just raised my hand spur of the moment, because I've kind of been struggling, and I was like, you know what? I'm in this call. I'm going to give it a try.
Good for you. Way to be brave. I promise I'll be nice.
Okay. So I don't know if what I am doing would be called binging exactly, but basically what it is it's always after dinner hours, or just like at the end of dinner. It's like, I have a few extra bites of dinner, and then like a couple bites of ice cream, and then a cookie. It's not like a huge quantity of food, but all of it is food that I'm not hungry for. And it's always consistently in the evening, like when I have more anxiety.
Okay. When you mean you're not hungry for it, do you mean you're not physically hungry, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So as far as, and this is, I'm glad you said, like, I don't know if I'm really binging or not. This is one place where it does not matter. We do not have to quantify it. We do not have to classify it. I think for some people, I know for me, here's what I used to do. I used to eat like a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And then all of a sudden I would be like, well, now I'm binging. And then once I would declare it was a binge, then if I was going to binge, like I might as well like go all in. And then I would make sure that like I ate all of the things because I'm kind of an overachiever. So I might as well like get like really, really binge if I'm going to binge. So I think sometimes classifying can actually be counterproductive.
Okay.
For anybody listening, I do not think you need to classify something as a binge. And in fact, I think for some people, it can have a negative kind of impact. But we can look, and you kind of are already aware enough where you say, this is happening at times where I actually just have more anxiety. So do you think that if we're looking at the intention of the food, do you think that potentially you're eating this food to kind of just like calm your anxiety?
It's like to check out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this is really good to know. Have you done anything in the past to try to address the anxiety or kind of take care of like the underlying needs rather than eating? Have you experimented with anything around that?
I have. So, okay. Starting at camp, I made like a couple of plans of things to do for 30 days with my accountability partner. And one of the things that I am anxious about is a lot of different changes in my life. Like we have someone living with us right now. My daughter was just diagnosed with dyslexia. We're like taking on like a travel sports team. Like there's a lot of things going on. And oh my God, I lost my train of thought. I forgot where I was going with this. So hold on.
I was just asking if you had experimented with anything before. Yes, you said okay. You had done a couple 30 days.
Okay. So we made a plan that I was going to try a gratitude practice for 30 days because I felt like I was so focused on like the negative and possibly like stress producing aspects of all the things and not stopping to feel grateful for the pieces of them that I appreciate. So, so every day on my plan, I've been writing like a list of things I'm grateful for. I do think it helps some. I also think it helps like redirect my thinking when I just get stuck in a more negative or anxious loop. But I'm still doing it. So the
gratitude practice though, it sounds like it's happening in the morning when you're creating your plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what we need to address is the extra energy and the anxiety that you have in the evening.
Oh, okay. And then the other piece is I was doing like a small bit of journaling, like kind of like a little brain dump in my phone, like every day. Okay. So that it was the two pieces. Okay. So I do feel, and I was doing that mostly when anxious.
Okay. Okay. So, I will tell you this, when we talk about anxiety, have you taken the Trusting Your Body course?
I have, but it's been a long time.
Okay. So you might want to go back and revisit the Trusting Your Body course. And for anybody who hasn't taken it yet, there's a lesson in there about the nervous system and you can go and you can listen all about the nervous system. But when we have anxiety, a lot of times we're basically in a heightened response in our nervous system. So we're above home base. There's a lot of extra energy up there. And when we have extra energy, what needs to happen is that energy needs to drain. It kind of needs to come down. Sometimes journaling can help, but I find honestly that journaling is a practice that is very well served when you are in home base. Sometimes it can help to kind of drain some energy, but the energy that is there with anxiety, a lot of times this is like energy that is in your body that needs to be drained. So rather than kind of looking at what we're doing, I'm like writing these things down, I'm doing this thing, I'm like thinking about this. What we really want to do is address the energy in the body. This is what your body's actually kind of trying to do already when it's, you know, trying to eat just a few things here, a few things there. There is this excess energy. So what we want to do more is look at what can I do to drain this excess energy? So examples are deep breathing. There are amazing deep breathing practices you can do. EFT, emotional freedom technique, just walking, taking a walk around the block, doing something grounding with a pet or another person, something like that, to really, what we can do is when we can really be aware, what's really going on? What do I really need? That, and then we can try to meet that need in some other way, because we have, it literally is a physical need of your body and your nervous system. So the food is really just trying to do you a favor and to bring that excess energy down. So if we can see, okay, what else can I do to bring that energy down? So you might experiment with just some different things, just knowing that. What would you say if you think about like knowing what's going on for you in the evenings, knowing that you have this excess anxiety, what do you think at night when you're done with dinner, what do you think you really need in that moment?
It's like relief. I don't know how else. Yeah. Just relief from, I don't know. I feel like all day I'm trying to deal with my thoughts and my anxiety so that it doesn't build to too much at night. And then it usually does anyway. And I just, it's like, I just want a break.
Okay.
Or I also tell myself things like, this is too much, or I can't handle this. And those particular thoughts really like make me want to out.
Yes. Makes sense. So it actually sounds to me like this is probably starting earlier in the day. It's like, I feel like I spend all day trying to just like manage my mind and deal with all of the thoughts and all of that. What are your thoughts about like, kind of like just the thoughts and the things that happen in your mind, like from day to day? What are your thoughts about that?
What are my thoughts like
about your thoughts? Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I hear them and I say those are just thoughts, or you know what I mean? Like I have some separation from it. Yeah. And other times I don't know. It's like there's not, I don't know how else to explain this, but there's not even any space between the feeling and the thought. I don't even get the thought. I just have the feeling, if that makes
sense. Yeah. Totally makes sense. Yes. Totally makes sense. So this is very common. Sometimes we can be aware of the thoughts like that create the feelings. And sometimes we just experience the emotion and the feeling in our body. So within Trusting Your Body, also the Now Plus Nurture, the audio can be really helpful for this, to really kind of, it sounds to me like you're almost kind of like at war with like the thinking and the emotions and like wanting to like fix it, and it kind of needs to go away. And like all day I'm working on it and I'm trying to manage it. And then it just kind of gets to this point where I'm just like, wow, like.
Yeah, because then I get to this next level of it where then I'm shaming it and being anxious about it and being obsessed that I'm going to gain all my weight back.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's like, then all of it is charged by that, you know, kind of third rail thought.
Yes. Yes. So, and that's exactly like, that literally is the, you're describing the nervous system, like the pressure that builds up in the nervous system, like over time. I'd like to think of it as like a tea kettle where it's like the pressure goes, it's like boiling, boiling, boiling. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's just like, you're gonna blow. And when we get to the place where we have so much going on up in our nervous system that we kind of are at that blow state, there's not a lot we can do to prevent ourselves from eating the extra food or whatever, because it's literally what our body knows to kind of calm us down. So what we want to do, I think for you, it's probably more, if this is actually more than a just evening situation, this is more like really paying attention during the day. When you start to notice that pressure is kind of building, then that's when you want to come in with some of these, the tool kit that's in the Trusting Your Body program, to kind of work on keeping the temperature down in your nervous system. So it doesn't just elevate all day, all day, all day, and then get to the point where you just need to eat a bunch of things to try to, to try to keep the lid on it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I would go revisit the Trusting Your Body program and really start thinking about this as my nervous system. What's happening within my nervous system, and how can I really work on like bringing that energy down and really looking at what else is happening for me in my body? What need am I maybe trying to fulfill in eating that and kind of like addressing it from that way.
Okay.
That. All right.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Michelle. Okay. Bye. All right. We're going to put her back to attendee. Okay. So Dana says, I noticed it gets more difficult to expand my emotional capacity Thursday through Saturday. I'm aware of it, but not sure how to practice not thinking these days are harder. So this is probably pretty common, I would say, for a lot of people. It's kind of like, this is like the week equivalent of a lot of people have, will notice they have a harder time, let's say in the evenings, right? It's kind of like decision fatigue. We've made so many decisions throughout the day. We also only have so much just kind of overall battery charge in a day. You get to the end of the day, you're tired, you're fatigued, you've got everything else that has been going on. It makes a lot of sense that towards the end of the day, sometimes it can be harder to kind of bring our logical brain back on board. So the equivalent of it for you is that this is happening kind of like later in the week. So what I would do, Dana, is get really curious about a couple of things. What's different in like the beginning of the week? And so you're saying Thursday through Saturday. So maybe Sunday is a day where you are actively recharging your battery. If so, I'd get really curious about what are you doing there? Is there a way either, and if you know Thursday through Saturday kind of is more challenging, maybe there's a way if you look at what am I doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe on Wednesdays, is there a way I could maybe change something so I can get a little more battery charge? It may be that you're trying to operate on a battery that doesn't quite have as much life as you are trying to give it. So this is a great place where you can, all of you, look at your patterns. Dana's really noticing Thursday through Saturday, I have more challenge here. So then I would say, okay, well, let's look at what's different the other days of the week. Maybe on Wednesdays, maybe she's trying to get too much out of herself. Maybe there is something she can change or adjust. Only she's going to be able to know that by getting really curious. Huh. I wonder what is going on. Maybe I could. Literally, sometimes it is like the smallest little shift. Give yourself a 30-minute nap. I mean, it literally could be tiny, tiny something. Maybe on Wednesdays, you make sure you're not cooking dinner or doing other stuff around the house. You make sure you have leftovers or whatever it is so that you have like this little extra little mini recharge in the middle of the week. Those are ways you can kind of get curious about it. Take that awareness that you have of your patterns, then get curious about how you might adjust it. All right, Lisa is coming on to be coached. All right, Lisa's coming on.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Well, it was easier than I thought it was going to be.
All right.
Ignore all my Christmas decorations that are still piled in my office. Yes. Yes.
Well, how can I ignore them now that you just pointed them out?
I just realized you could see them. But
I think it's great.
Okay. So I was watching earlier Corinne's video from, I think it was last Wednesday. And she was talking about stopping at enough because you say, oh, it just tastes so good. Okay. Well, that's one of my issues. And, you know, she was pushing everybody to think about, you know, what is behind that. And I just can't find what is behind that. I mean, she always says, well, you know, it doesn't have to be a party in your mouth every time you eat something, you know. That there's, if you're wanting to just keep eating, she said, what she said was your wants are driving you to eat. And I can't figure out, you know, why, other than it just tastes so good. I can't find any deeper meaning there.
Okay. So one question I love to ask is what am I expecting or wanting this food to do for me? So that can be a really interesting question for anybody listening. When you're eating, in a way that is maybe you're either curious about, or maybe you would like to eat in a different way, or maybe it doesn't feel like is really kind of like in alignment with the future version that you see for yourself as an eater. The question, what do I want? What do I think this food is? What do I want this food to do for me?
Okay.
Or what am I expecting this food to do for me? Something, you know, along those lines. So let's talk about when was the last time this happened for you?
We had Cheesecake Factory this weekend.
Okay. Okay.
So my grandmother-in-law turned 99. So We had a party, and my mother-in-law brought 6 different kinds of cheesecake from Cheesecake Factory.
Okay. Well,
it didn't all get eaten. And so she said, everybody take some. So I took some home.
Okay.
We got home after, you know, being gone for the weekend, and I had dinner, and I stopped way before enough at dinner because I knew I wanted a little bit of that cheesecake. Okay. But I just like kept eating it.
Okay. And so as you're eating it, then what are you thinking? It was every single bite. It tastes so good. Like every single time.
Yeah. Have you had cheesecake from Cheesecake Factory?
I have. Absolutely. And it is
so good.
See, here's my experience with Cheesecake Factory. The first several bites are pretty darn good. Then it's not so good to me. It's not actually as good anymore. Yeah. But here's what else I'm wondering. Is there something else going on in your mind? Like, you shouldn't be eating this. What else is happening in your mind? Or is it literally just, it tastes so good, I want to keep eating?
Probably at the time I was tired when we got back from being gone.
Okay.
And, you know, overnight at my mom's over the weekend, waiting on grandbaby number 10 to come any day. So I was thinking about that. And I don't know, my husband had gone to bed, or he was going in there getting ready to go to bed. And yeah, I was just sitting there by myself, and I was tired. So,
okay. What else was happening? Were you feeling like pure joy? Was it pleasure? Was it guilt? Was it fatigue? What, like, name if you can remember, like, all of the things.
Probably fatigue. I was tired.
Okay.
It was pretty joyous. Okay. There was 2 different kinds in there, and I was just like, kept getting a few bites of each one. And I mean, I didn't hugely overeat it. I've gotten past the point. I used to binge on things like, you know, I would buy a box of Little Debbie's, you know, and in my mind, a normal person eats one, you know. If nobody was around or my husband was already gone to bed or something, I might sit there and eat 4 or 5 of them, you know. And I didn't realize, but just through joining OBS and listening, I was like, oh my gosh, I was a binger and didn't know it.
You are not alone in that. You are not alone in that statement.
I had no idea, you know. But I've kind of gotten past that. I guess I don't know if I want to say I've grown enough, but I've matured enough in my, you know, my walk that I'm doing with no BS and myself, that I don't do those type things anymore.
Okay. So is the question then just, why am I eating it beyond it just tastes so good?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think? So then let's go back to the question. What do you think you wanted that food to do for you in that moment? The cheesecake.
I don't know. That's what I just can't get to.
If I don't know is not allowed. Like,
it just
not,
tastes
I don't
really good.
Okay. So you wanted it to give you pleasure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like you were tired. So it sounds like you probably also wanted it to maybe give you some energy.
Yeah. Or relaxation, I guess.
Okay.
You know,
so you wanted it.
Uh-huh. I do know that I have used food to relax.
Okay.
You know, when I was, I know it, when I was in graduate school and I would do that, you know, finally get the kids to bed tired and, you know, have worked and gone to school and done all that. Then I would sit in there and watch TV and almost like it was a friend, you know, those little Debbies mm-hmm. were my friends.
Yes.
So I've definitely in the past used food as a way of relaxing.
And it sounds like you have in the past used it as a way of companionship.
Yes.
Both of those. Thought about it as a friend. Yeah. So these are all, I mean, it's just great to just get curious. What was I looking or expecting the food to do for me in that moment? For some of you, it might be not feel. I was looking for it to take away my feelings. I was looking for it to dull the whatever. Like for me, I often used it to just disconnect. So I wouldn't have to hear all the negative, awful, terrible voices that were in my head about all the mean things I said to myself. So I wonder for you a little bit, just like what else really was going on in your head. It might've been pure joy, pleasure. You might've been 1,000% fully present in the moment. And that totally might've been the case. For a lot of us, there is on the one hand, ooh, this tastes so good. And there's also this other voice that's like, oh, but you're being so bad. Oh, you shouldn't be eating this. Oh, you know, what if so-and-so walks in and sees me eating the cheesecake? Oh, I better eat this while it's still here because it might be going away. Like all of these other things that happen.
Oh, I think that just touched on something.
What's that?
I do think when we have something really good like that in the house,
mm-hmm.
I do think that I want to eat. I do think I want to eat some of it because it's, if I don't, it's going to go in the fridge and then somebody else could get it.
Yes.
So yes. I do have that.
Yes. Know, okay. Great awareness. Right. We can't change what we're not aware of. This is often also where we can see if scarcity is at play for us. If it's like, ooh, it's here. I have to eat it. I've got to get it before somebody else gets it. This is one of those things that can take a while to work on. I will tell you, when I started bringing food in, when I started eating things, there was a lot of like, ooh, is my husband going to eat my food? You know, like this is mine, what all of that type of stuff. Just you can be aware. Maybe that's going on in there too. So there is often, yes, it tastes so good. And it generally, there are other things that kind of come along with it. So if we can, again, be open and curious to what else might be there, then we can get super curious.
Yeah, because I do think that FOMO is there. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I mean, I didn't grow up with food being scarce at all, you know?
Well, but if you have been on a diet, we have created scarcity for ourselves.
Oh, okay.
It's sometimes yeah, it's just like that sense. That residue, that kind of like over, like what's left over in time, yeah. In terms of like old
I do think I was also thinking when I was eating that cheesecake that I can't seem to totally get rid of the diet mentality of mm-hmm. that. There's no way I'm going to lose weight sitting here eating this cheesecake.
Yes. You know? Okay. Yes. So that's another place it's so good to be aware of.
Okay.
If we can really open up to what all is going, like just what are the sentences that are there, then we can get really curious and we can decide if we want to question them, how we want to feel about them. When we think there's no way I can lose weight eating this cheesecake, do I end up eating more cheesecake or less than if I just sit down and I'm like, let's just really see like, how good is this? Are all the bites equally as good? Like really getting curious about some of that. So for all of you, just really notice when you're in shame or judgment about what you're doing, we block ourselves to so much awareness. The way you can assess yourself and assess what's going on is to be open, be curious. What's going on for me? What are the sentences in my head? What are the sensations in my body? And then how can I, you know, kind of interact with them differently the next time, and just experiment with different ways. When these sentences show up, when these sensations show up, how can I interact with them in different ways? So good. Thank you so much, Lisa.
All right. Thank you.
Helpful for lots of people. Yes. All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. All right. We have one last question, which totally goes into exactly what we were just talking about here. Diane says, all I can see or feel is I want the food. I haven't been able to get beneath that. Any suggestions? So my suggestion is the same. Ask the question. What do I expect this food that I want, what do I expect that it will do for me? What do I hope this food, eating this food, is going to do for me? That will give you a lot of insights. All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining me today. We'll see you again next month. Bye.